May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. Luke chapter 5, verse 4, a verse from that gospel. Jesus said, "Put out into the deep water." I don't know all that much about fishing. Don't know about you. But from what I've heard and from what I've read, it sounds like being a fisherman is just about one of the most difficult and demanding jobs there can be. And I can only imagine that back in the first century, when of course there was none of our modern machinery and equipment and technology to help, back in the first century, being a fisherman was even more physically exhausting and demanding. So think, therefore, for a moment, of how Simon Peter and his brother Andrew must have been feeling on that morning we just read about in today's gospel. They had been working hard all night long. So that's, 8 hours, 10 hours, more hours out on the lake, casting out their nets and then hauling them back in, and then repeating this back-breaking process over and over again, hour after hour. And then in the morning, when they finally get back to dry land, their eyes bleary from lack of sleep, and their muscles aching from their efforts, even when they come ashore, their work is not yet done. It's not quite time to head home to bed just yet. Because now they have to, as we heard, they have to wash the nets. They have to clean the nets. They also have to, of course, mend any tears in the nets. And generally, they have to set everything up for the next night's work. What's more, not only are Simon Peter and his brother Andrew physically exhausted, but they're also, we can only imagine, pretty fed up. Pretty fed up and discouraged because, as we're told, their night's fishing had been entirely in vain. They had not caught a single fish. Not even a little tiny tiddler. Nothing. Zilch. Nada. Ingenting. As we say so well here in Norway. So you can only imagine how the two brothers must have been longing to get home, get their heads down, and get some rest before they had to get up and do it all over again the next night. But then along came Jesus of Nazareth, this new rabbi on the block, this healer, this teacher, this preacher, who was already making a bit of a name for himself. And this Jesus says to the two brothers, out you go again, no bed for you guys just yet. No, out you go again. And then in fact he says, I want you to go out further this time. I want you to go out further on the lake. I want you to go out deeper on the lake. Well, somehow, as we heard, the two brothers found the strength within themselves, or more accurately maybe the strength beyond themselves, to say yes. And out they went, further, deeper, than perhaps they thought wise, than they thought prudent. But out there beyond their usual fishing places, beyond their usual expectations, there in the deep, deep place, they found something extraordinary. There they found a superabundance, an overflowing harvest, a catch of fish so bountiful that they were overwhelmed. And that overwhelming experience was utterly life-changing for them, so we heard, for Simon Peter and Andrew and their fellow fishermen James and John. Quite simply, we're told, they left everything and followed him. Jesus now had his first four disciples. First four. And here's the thing. What strikes me as I read this account of the calling of the first four disciples is that in many ways, what happened on that morning on that lake set the pattern which was repeated over and over again throughout the Gospels. What I mean is this. Over and again, those four disciples, and then all the other disciples too, including us, time and again, Jesus called them to go deeper. To go deeper. To go further. To go beyond what they thought was either prudent or even possible. Let me give you some examples of what I mean about this call from Jesus to go deeper and further. For example, you may remember, one day later on, somebody asked Jesus a question. They said to him, "Jesus, how often should I forgive someone? 7 times, maybe? That sounds pretty generous, don't you think? 7 times? And Jesus said, I'm paraphrasing here, Jesus said, "Nah, go deeper. Go deeper. Not 7 times, but 70 times. 7 times you should forgive." Or another day, you may remember, somebody asked Jesus, "Jesus, I have a question for you. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Probably another member of my tribe, I suppose. Probably somebody who looks like me, speaks like me, believes like me, maybe?" And Jesus said again, "Nah, go deeper. Your neighbor is anyone who needs your help." Or you may remember another day somebody came up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I have a question for you. What must I do if I want to be fully and truly alive? If I want to really live? Maybe follow all the rules meticulously." Yeah? And Jesus said, "Nah, go deeper. Don't just follow the letter of the law. Follow the spirit of the law. And be willing to give everything away, including your life." Well, finally, one day someone asked Jesus, "But Jesus, how can we do all of that? How can we possibly live this life of love and joy and generosity and peace?" And Jesus said, in essence, "Go deeper. Go deeper within, because I'll be with you. My spirit will guide you and empower you, and you will never be alone. Do not be afraid. Get back in the boat. Go deeper." And here's what I want to say to you this morning. 2,000 years have passed since Jesus called those first four followers. But you know, the call remains very much the same today, and very much the same for you and me. Go deeper. Because I don't know about you, but one of the great temptations in my life is to live on the surface of things. Yeah? Do you know what I mean? In fact, I sometimes think that our whole Western consumer society is specially arranged to keep us on the surface of things. To keep us either so entertained, or so chasing our tails, or so distracted, or so drugged, that we never go deeper. Do you know what I mean? It seems sometimes like our entire culture is addicted to superficiality, addicted to airbrushed images, soundbite opinions. And so there's little space for complexity, and for depth, and for exploring the immense interiority, which lies inside each of us. And if that's true, and I think it is, if that's true, then maybe one of the most revolutionary things, one of the most countercultural things we can do as people of faith, is to resist that superficiality. We can refuse to live on the surface. We can be instead the ones who question, who probe, who dig deeper in order to explore the kingdom of God which lies within. So let me give you this morning three concrete suggestions, for the sort of things which, by the grace of God, you might consider in this quest to go deeper. Here's the first one. Here's a question to ask yourself, a very good question to ask yourself. When was the last time I had a really wonderful conversation with someone? Not two intersecting monologues, which is what passes for conversation a lot of the time, but a real conversation where we went deeper and talked about the really important things, and where I heard myself hearing and saying things I never knew I knew. And a conversation which, as someone once said to me, sang in their mind for weeks afterwards. And if you haven't had one of those deep conversations lately, then please think about where you might find one. Or here's another question to ask yourself. When was the last time you got stuck into a real substantial book about your faith? Sure, I know theological tomes can be hard going. Don't I know it? But do you actively seek out ways of growing and deepening your understanding of this amazing tradition that we've inherited? And if not, where might you start? And thirdly and finally, the question for you, when was the last time you made some space for the things that are important but not urgent? Because there's the difference. When was the last time you stepped off the treadmill of life to allow your deepest self, your deepest longings, your many blessings to catch up with you? And if you can't remember when that was, then please think about where and when you might find that space. But here's the thing. In giving you those three suggestions, I don't want this to sound like a shape up or else sermon. That's really not my style. Besides, I need to hear this advice more than any of you. And more importantly still, church is not really the place to come to for good advice. Church is the place to come to for good news. That's what gospel means. Not good advice, good news. God spell. The good news that there is a power loose in our world. A power which, as those first four disciples discovered, a power that can give us the strength to keep on going when we are either exhausted or utterly discouraged. The good news that there is a God who created you and so knows the very worst of which you are capable, and yet loves you all the same, and has high hopes and big plans for you. The good news that there is a Jesus Christ who stands beside us on the shoreline of our lives. A Jesus Christ who stands beside us and whose Spirit is within us. And a Jesus who is forever calling us and saying, come, follow me. Do not be afraid. Get back in the boat and go out deeper, deeper. And there, you won't believe what together we might find. May God give us the grace to answer that call. In Jesus' name, amen.